both of these specials, they touched my heart today. Beautiful. Beautiful singing. I asked the Lord what to share with you when my friends backed out on me. And he led me to a passage of Scripture about a specific church that I've admired for a long time. So I want to turn there a minute, and we're going to read that passage, and then we'll pray, okay? Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse number 7. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse number 7. Holler when you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity today. Thank you for the blessings of the day. Thank you for the word and song. Thank you for touching our hearts with these tender melodies. Lord, I ask you just to speak through me. Holy Spirit, take my words, and we give you praise. Lord, bless the folks that are here. Give us a great time together. And I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Jesus had written letters to seven churches, Christian churches in Asia. Unfortunately, most of these letters were rather condemning, as the sins of the churches were exposed. But to the church of the city of Philadelphia, he wrote a powerful message that I want us to talk about today. The city of Philadelphia was founded by King Immunes about 200 years before the birth of Jesus. It was named after his brother, who was called Attalus Philadelphus. And in the Greek language, the name of the town literally meant the city of brotherly love. The city was located about 25 miles from Sardis and about 10 miles from the neighboring towns of Laodicea and Colossae. And most of the wealth of the town seemed to come from agriculture, as it was situated on some of the most fertile land in the whole area. Now, Philadelphia was also known as the city of earthquakes. In AD 17, a very severe earthquake completely destroyed Philadelphia, forcing the residents to live outside the city limits in tents. Kind of reminds me of what things floods do, right? Amen? Same type of thing. Philadelphia was then rebuilt after the Roman emperor gave them money to do so. Well, we don't have Roman emperors anymore to help us, but God will provide. The people then renamed the city Neo-Caesarea, which means the new city of the emperor. New city of the emperor. Philadelphia had been recognized for its huge number of temples and religious festivals, far more than any other town in the area. You may remember that the first letter written by Paul was to the church in Ephesus, which had many different temples and ceremonies to different gods. However, Philadelphia had more temples than even Ephesus. In later years, the Turks and the Muslims flooded the area, but Philadelphia remained true to Jesus Christ, and in fact, it was the last Christian church in Asia when it was finally destroyed in AD 1390. There is still a town on the site of the old city, which is now known as Eleasher, which incidentally means the city of God. As we read this text, we know that it was Paul who had established this particular Christian church in that pagan city. And even though persecution had erupted against the church, the Christians there had managed to stay true to their faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Philadelphia, along with Smyrna, are the only two churches in this series of letters, Revelation, which are not told to repent. That's special. To all the other five churches, the Lord basically said, repent or else. Repent or else. The Philadelphian church is the only one that experienced the favor of the Lord and was the only one he had chosen to bless. As in all the other letters to the leaders and the people of the seven churches, there was also a challenge for them to keep their eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, as Jesus writes this letter, he points out three different things concerning himself. I want us to go back to verse 7 again. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. So verse 7 describes him as he that is holy, he that is true. These are divine qualities to define his character. It is the living Christ we're talking about here. Jesus authored these letters, right? The Holy One. And we should always respond to Jesus with respect and awe. He's also described as the one who has the key of David. This refers to the prophetic link between Jesus Christ and the royal house of King David, which fulfilled many, many prophecies about Jesus. Today, the true church recognizes that Jesus is the King of Kings with absolute authority over all things. Amen? Absolute authority over all things. It is He who holds the keys to all the doors throughout the universe. Amen? That's an important daily walking with the Lord thought idea, that Jesus holds the keys to the doors we face, right? Therefore, he opens, and what he opens, no one else can shut. And what he shuts, no one else can open. Amen. And as he opened the door for the Philadelphian church, he opens the door for Turning Point Church in the same way that no one else could have possibly have opened the door to the kingdom of God. Amen. What perhaps is the meaning here? Well, it could mean several different things, but the first is obviously the door of opportunity. The door that Jesus has opened would be the door leading to heaven. It is a door of opportunity, an opportunity that is not to be missed. It's the opportunity for salvation. That's the first door. An open door can also be an opportunity for Christian service. Now, as Christians, we should have a deep and genuine concern for the spiritual needs of others. And after we pass through the door of salvation, we can go straight through the door of service to tell others what we have discovered ourselves. Amen? Now look at verse 8 with me. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. One problem with the Church of Philadelphia was that it was physically weak. It was small, even. Verse 8 says, for you have a little strength. Little strength. This would have been partly because of the size of the congregation and partly because it ministered to folks who had little influence within the city. We have all seen and been aware of the fact that many churches find favor with people and with city authorities because some of their members are highly respected civic leaders and are capable of doing wonderful things within the community. Men, apparently this was not the case in Philadelphia. Verse 9, indeed I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So the Church of Philadelphia has also undergone a fair amount of persecution and vicious attacks from the religious fringe group that we have heard about before, the Judaizers. The Judaizers wanted all Christians to be circumcised and to follow every religious custom or festival of the Jews. And yet the church had not succumbed to this pressure. Despite their human frailties, they remained strong spiritually. Remember, the Judaizers were those whom Jesus called the synagogue of Satan. I can't imagine being tagged with that kind of name, especially from our Lord and Savior. Amen. This caused Jesus to open another door for the Philadelphian church, a door for evangelism. An opportunity to reach out to the synagogue of Satan with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So verse 9 tells them that if they are obedient to the Lord, then these Judaizers will come and fall at their feet, at the feet of the believers, and acknowledge that the Christian faith is the only true way of salvation. There's also a promise to the church from Jesus in verse 11 and 12. Let's read that. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Glory. The Christians in Philadelphia are being told to stand firm in their faith, to stand firm against the persecutors of the church, to stand firm against the Judaizers, and to stand firm against those who attack and criticize them. But at the same time, they are instructed to move forward, to let no man rob them of their reward. To the ones who are able to overcome the temptations, the persecutions, without denying the name of Jesus, the promise is unequaled. Amen? Just listen. Jesus will make the ones who overcome a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar. Now, obviously, this is not to be taken literally. This has to be a reference to the former problems of the city. Remember the earthquakes that I mentioned earlier. Well, quite often, the only parts of a building left standing after an earthquake are the pillars, the huge stone columns that hold up the roof of the building. So Jesus is promising the believer that he will set them in his temple and in his kingdom in such a secure fashion that no disturbance will ever force them to fall. Amen? Let me say that again. I want you to have that. Jesus is promising the believer that he will set them in his temple and in his kingdom in such a secure fashion that no disturbance will ever force them to fail. Get a hold of that, saints. Get a hold of that. This is Jesus promising that these overcomers will be honored today and even in the New Jerusalem, and they will be treated as special citizens, as honored guests, in exactly the same way the leaders of the city of Philadelphia might have been received. Amen? They will be special. They will be acknowledged as being special. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the most encouraging letter of all the seven letters written to the church in the book of Revelation. Jesus does not condemn nor criticize this church. He doesn't condemn nor criticize this church. It has all the marks of an effective church, the future bride of Jesus Christ. Its success is not dependent on its size, right? Its success is not dependent on its size. The church simply continues to move forward. The Church of Philadelphia is obedient to the Word of God and one that stands true to the name of Christ Jesus. And the Church of Philadelphia remains faithful to one another. Faithful to one another. God is emphasizing how important it is to keep holding on to the faith that we have embraced. Amen? Holding on to the faith that we have embraced. Hold on, brothers and sisters. Hold on to that faith that we have embraced. Hallelujah. Now, folks, is this the letter that Jesus would write to us? Is this the letter that Jesus would write to us? If Jesus were to write a letter to Turning Point Church, would he need to correct and convict the Christians in this place? Are we able to stand against persecution? Stand up against false teaching? Are we prepared to put ourselves on the front line of the spiritual and moral battles that are raging all around us? If we can do these things, then we can expect God's blessing in the same way as the people at the church in Philadelphia. Jesus will give us an open door, a door for an effective work, a door that's always open for growth, both numerically and spiritually, a door of faith and an opportunity for the preaching of the gospel. Jesus will also deliver us from temptation, and he will deliver us at the time of tribulation. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Saints, not only will we enjoy the blessings and gifts of the Lord while we sojourn in this life, but we can expect the rewards of heaven when we spend eternity with him. That's a promise from God for any church that is prepared to trust Jesus, declare the truth of his word, and give their all to him. Amen. Now, listen to me close. those of us who are here celebrating this anniversary, those of us who are called by God to be part of this fellowship, we cannot stand alone.
Amen.
Human strength, resolve, and fortitude will not do it. Human strength, resolve, and fortitude will not do it. We must have a supernatural God to accomplish supernatural things. We all know we can do nothing on our own. We can do nothing on our own. So far, for 25 years, we've tried to be obedient to Him, to follow His lead, make necessary changes, attempted to do just about everything we can. But this is the time and place where we face tremendous opportunity to become overcomers. Overcomers.
Amen.
To overcome the temptation to sit back and do nothing.
Yes.
Amen? Yeah. To overcome that temptation. To overcome the temptation to say it can't be done.
Amen.
And just give up. To overcome the temptation to be satisfied with the status quo. To overcome the temptation to expect someone else to do it. To overcome the temptation to just meditate on how things once were. God has given this church 25 years. God was with us in the beginning as we gathered in my League City home. God has orchestrated times of Holy Spirit revival.
Amen.
Amen. We have experienced His touch and His intervention, His power, time and time again.
Yes.
Amen. We have enjoyed growth spiritually and numerically, yet we have suffered with loss and struggled through hardships, sometimes hurting and sometimes confused. But in every season, God has been with us and taught us and changed us. He has been faithful, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
He has been faithful. And if we yield to His Spirit, we will survive. We will stand strong and we will overcome. Amen?
Amen.
And folks, don't we want League City and this area to experience our God? Amen? A God of love and peace and patience and power. A God who saves. A God who delivers. A God who heals. A God who reigns. And a God who was and will always be. Amen? So let's pray every day for the people of this area. Let's pray that they will hunger to know the truth and be led by the Holy Spirit, led right here to Turning Point Church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray that there will be people living around us that who don't know Jesus as their Savior, but they will see Him in us. Amen? In us. And they will want to know more. Can we pray that way, folks?
Yes.
Starting today, the 25th anniversary of Turning Point Church, let's pray that God will strengthen our faith to expect the impossible and believe for the miraculous.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God can do anything. We've seen it. He can do anything. Amen. May God be glorified in this church, and may He be revealed through our witness. Hallelujah. To Him be the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Give Him praise. Come on. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We give God glory and praise. Amen. We give God glory and praise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today.